John ends the miracle with Jesus on the seashore and having a campfire and the fishes. So really what we're seeing here is our Lord Jesus Christ has already been crucified, resurrected from the tomb, and he's been ministering and showing himself alive still to those around before his ascension up to heaven. And he's meeting with these apostles for the last time, and he's getting ready to just bring a miracle in their lives. So I think we all have a moment in which we need a miracle. Amen. And this may be your moment today. If you need a miracle, I'm just going to ask you to open your heart, open your mind, open all that you are up to Christ today, that he might do a miracle in a moment for you like he did for all of these then. Would you stand if you are there this morning? John, the 21st chapter, for the reading of the Word of God. I want to read to you the first 14 verses. And I want to encourage you to take time to read all of the chapters in John. Woohoo! One of these days. Maybe this afternoon even. The 21st chapter. If you have a heading, in my New King James, it actually says, Breakfast by the Sea. Today we're going to come and dine with Jesus. The Word of God says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, Hey, I'm a-going fishing. They said to him, Hey, we're going with you. So they went out and immediately got into their boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they came to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, Come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Precious Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would show yourself to these, your disciples, even now, Lord God, one more time. Lord, we know you are raised from the dead and you are alive, Lord, in the world today. Lord, let your life come to each and every one. Let a miracle happen in this moment. Every miracle need be met in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It's interesting, Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, Jesus made his headquarters in Capernaum. This is where Peter's mother and father had their fishing business at, Capernaum. And so the Apostle Peter is very familiar with this area. He's a fisherman himself, and it's interesting when they say, Hey, I'm going fishing, they knew what they were doing. This is the third time Jesus is revealing himself to the disciples. So already twice they have seen him. Once behind a locked, closed door, he revealed himself. On the road to Emmaus, he showed himself. He showed himself to the disciples repeatedly. Before he ascends, he will meet with them on the Mount of Olivet, and he will ascend onto the right hand of the Father, and the angels will tell them, Why do you look and wonder? He will descend on like similar clouds. And we're waiting now even for that day, aren't we? When Jesus Christ breaks the eastern sky and descends down to take his throne here upon earth. We call it the millennial reign of Christ. And he is coming to reign 1,000 years here. And I'm excited for the day when he splits that eastern sky. The word of God tells us that in a twinkling, like an eye in a twinkling, we shall be caught up. The dead in Christ first shall be raised up. And then those who remain caught up with him. And there we shall ever remain. What a wonderful day it's going to be. But until that day, what is it we need here in this life? Because Jesus Christ is yes coming, but Jesus Christ is yes here. And so he can heal us today in every way in which we need. I believe in divine healing. I believe in divine healing not just because it's a part of the statements of faith in which we have in our denomination, but I believe in it because he's done it in my life. I know I can look in the Word of God and I can see where divine healing is done, but I can look in my own life and I can see where God has divinely healed me, and it is done by the blood of Christ. And I want that same healing in your life today. I believe God has a desire to make a moment and a miracle in that moment. Matters of fact, if we were to look at the Sea of Galilee and you see this picture here, every one of those is a miracle that Jesus did around the Sea of Galilee. So his headquarters area was surrounded with miracles and moments of miracles, right? Everywhere he went, a miracle happened. And so if we're here today and Christ is here today, then a miracle can happen. I just want to speak my faith into your life and take the measure of faith that Christ has given unto me and the measure he's given unto every man, believing for it to rise up and bring that healing. John, actually, if you go to the end of this chapter, the end of his gospel, the very last verse, In John, the 21st chapter, the very last verse in his whole gospel, he sums up a whole bunch of it. He says, and there are also many more things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, even the world itself could not contain the books and the books that they would be written in. How many miracles did our Lord do? We see a picture with a few. But if they were written and every book was then stacked, this world would not be big enough to hold the stacks of books to contain all that Christ did. And so what makes us think today he can't do it in our life? Why do we even doubt a little bit that Christ desires to do it and that he's not able to? He is able and he desires. And if it was written down, all the books that it was written in wouldn't even be able to be contained, not just in this sanctuary, but in this whole world. God can do a miracle in your life. He's done more than one in mine. He can do a miracle in everybody's life. He can do all those miracles in one moment at the same time. He will not be exhausted. He will not run out of miracle power. He is an amazing God, and his precious blood, just one drop, is enough to heal this whole world of sin and bring it into its righteousness that he desires. This is our God. This is a miracle moment I believe God's getting ready to do. He has a visitation with his disciples after his resurrection. And this is the last time that he's going to meet with these guys. It's interesting because Peter, he looks at him and says, I'm going fishing. I would have joined him. I like fishing. It's a vocation he had before he became a disciple. It's what he was good at. And it's what he's going back to because honestly, I don't believe he really knows what he needs to do anymore. He doesn't understand and he's just going back to what he knows. Right? I think some of us are the same way. God, I need a miracle. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the moment in which you did that miracle, so I'm going to go back to what I know. And we just have to understand a couple of things. Jesus, when he went just to fishing, he took a lot of people with him. And when we walk away from believing God for everything he has from us, it's not just us. It's those others around. And so today, if you need a miracle, that miracle could manifest for the power and the glory of God so somebody else that wants to go fishing with you won't and will believe Christ for all that they have, all that he has for them. And so today I want to encourage you in that and understand this miracle moment was the dawning of a new day for them. It was just as the sun was coming up, Jesus met them on the seashore. Today is the dawning of your new day, I believe. Today is a miracle moment for you. You're able to recognize that moment. That you're able to recognize the man we call Jesus. You're able to recognize the miracle you need. And if all those things, if the sun can shine upon and bring that to revelation, then I believe God's getting ready to do something. The disciples had difficulty knowing it was their Lord, but yet they had difficulty knowing it was their moment. They had difficulty knowing that the miracle was waiting on them on the shores of Galilee. But when they found out it was Jesus, they were excited. And we need to get a little bit excited. What convinced them? What convinced John? What convinced Peter? What convinced them all of this miracle moment that was dawning on their day? Well, John was convinced when he was dragged, when he started dragging the draught of fish. 153 of them, to be exact. Peter was convinced when John became convinced. So his convincing convinced another. Sometimes when I testify, others are convinced. When I'm able to see with a biblical worldview, when I'm able to tell people what Christ has done for me from the Holy Word of God, and that it's inerrant, infallible, and it'll reign forever in our lives, it is a Ruach, living Word of God. Then it will change lives and bring a miracle. People will be convinced. Many today and throughout history are convinced because of the Word of God. And it records miracle moments throughout it. Peter, John, and all of us still today. Will you be convinced? Will you be convinced today? Will you embrace Jesus Christ? He's willing and he's waiting on the shore. Let us take a look at Jesus and the frying up of these fish that he did for the saints on that day. There's 153 fish. Luke records that. John records that. It's interesting that they even record that. There's other miracles of miraculous droughts of fish, and this is the only time they count the fish. Really? Why? I don't understand why they would count the fish, but it's important, obviously, that they do. It's a big thing. I think the apostles, you know, somehow they've been fishing all night, right? So all of a sudden they, you know, throw the net on the other side. Okay. They tossed it on the 153 fish. They went from zero to 153 in a moment. And some of us need that moment in our lives. We need to go from nothing to everything in just a moment. They had more in that one catch, that one toss of the net, than they had probably in a whole week worth of fishing. I know definitely in a whole night worth of fishing, but all of a sudden, here it is, 153. It's interesting because throughout history, theologians have discussed this thing. 153 is an interesting number. Why 153? I don't think God does anything by accident, do you? So the 153 must be for a reason. You know, it's part of this reason, I think, is, you know, working on the men, the women that were seeing this in the way in which they need to be seen. Sometimes God just needs to confuse our logic to make a miracle happen. You know, it's kind of that nevertheless principle. You know, Peter said, well, nevertheless, at your command, I'll let down the net. I think he kind of had that same attitude here. Well, nevertheless, let's throw the net out on the other side of the boat. We've been throwing it out on each side all night long. We might as well do it one more time. Miracles don't just happen when we believe God for big things. Miracles happen when we obey God for big things. When we obey God in the little things, miracles happen. He's just waiting for a little bit of our faith to be extended. Nevertheless, I will do as you command. Peter was a salty old fisherman. He knew those waters better than anyone else. Verse 3 says, Peter says, I'm going fishing. He goes where he knows. Right? He doesn't go to some pond or lake that he doesn't know. This is right out mom and dad's back door. This is where he grew up fishing. This is everything he knew about fishing happening right now. He was planning on making a good catch. But it didn't happen that way. He knew the best time to go, the best places to go. He had the best equipment to go with. Peter was the man. was the fisherman of the whole area. His mom and dad built up a good small business, and he had a whole bunch of it. Theoretically, the others were wise to follow his lead. I mean, if you're going to go fishing, who not better to go with than Peter, right in his backyard where he grew up fishing? He knows everything. Go with that guy. You'll catch lots. Didn't happen that way, though, did it? It was wise to follow his lead to go fishing. However, Jesus Christ was getting ready to step onto the scene of the shoreline of Galilee. Things were getting ready to go from zero to 153 in a heartbeat. And he needed to set them up for success. That's what he was getting ready to do. And so right now, your faith needs to go from zero to 153 in just a heartbeat. You have to say, yes, God can do a miracle in my life. Yes, God desires to do a miracle in my life. Yes, God requires that a miracle get done in my life so that his glory might be shown. They've been toiling all night, and some of us are kind of tired from toiling. All night, through the darkness, through the coldest hours, through the emptiest. So why did they count the fish? Actually, Jerome, one of those ancient church fathers, referenced Oppian's Halusia. It's a biological manual. And he talked about 153 different species of fish at the time that were known. Okay, so one species, one of each, was what Jerome was kind of saying. And that's okay. Augustine of Hippo used a mathematical equation. He said 153 being the sum of 17 integers, making it a triangular number. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, fine. Whatever you needed there. You know, Augustine needed something different than what Jerome needed. Some deduce that there were 153 known populations and people groups at the time. Whatever the reason, assume the number is not simply for the symbolism. The number is there for whatever you need. You need to go from zero to this miracle that can happen. And that's what God wants to do in your life today. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? We need to go from zero to 153. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I mean, now I don't mean when you leave here out of the parking lot down onto Highway 1. Do not go zero to 153. I mean, if you have a car that does that, I'd like to meet you out on the airline and we'll take a ride. But, you know, the police officer will pull you over. It won't be a good day. You're going to need a miracle. Pastor, come down and get me, because that's called, you know, criminal speeding. And so don't do that. But honestly, let our faith go from zero to 153 in just a moment. And giving the exact number of the fish leads to wonder if God desires for us to measure the miracles. That's what I come down to. I wonder, God, do you really want me to measure the miracle? Why did they have to sit there? I mean, think about it for a moment. Jesus got bread and fish on the fire, and I'm sitting here. 102, 103, one. Hey, save some for me, 104. Hey, guys, don't eat all the fish and bread before I... Who's counting them 153? Whoever's counting them isn't eating. Right? And so why do I have to count them out? Because it's important that we know how big the miracle is. We have to measure the miracles of God. We have to measure them in our own lives. We have to measure them in other people's lives. When I say I've been healed of incurable, untreatable cancer twice, it's been measured. They did PET scans. They did CAT scans. They did MRIs. They did chemo. They did everything they could. And then they say there's nothing we can do. It was measured. And your miracle needs to be measured. God, I'm down to the last. There's not a penny left. If there's 2 pennies left, spend them. Give them away. And people like to give me their 2 cents worth all the time anyways. I'll take it. I mean, you know, whatever. The simple fact of the matter is, when you get down to the point where it's zero, it's been measured. There's nothing else that can happen. There's nothing else we can do for you medically, clinically, scientifically. We're at zero. And then God turns it around in just a couple of months to 153 in a moment. I walked into the oncologist's office, sat down with my wife. It was taking him longer than usual. He's reading my PET scan from the day before. I would get a PET scan. They would do a quick read on it. You know, radiologists don't just turn that around in a day. But they would for me. And I'm sitting in the oncologist's office, and it's taking him time and time and time. And I'm thinking, what's going on with Doc Kumar? Why is it taking so long? And finally he walks in and he says, so what have you been doing? And I said, well, you stopped chemo and we kept praying. Why? He goes, well, it seemingly worked. They're all gone. Come on. It went to 153 pretty quick, didn't it? Hallelujah. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes we got to believe that when it gets its worst, it's just about getting its best. It's getting ready to become its best when it's at its worst. When it's at zero, then it can go to 153 in a heartbeat. Sometimes God wants us to simply count the fish because it's shorthand to measure the miracle. Measure your miracle. Here's an interesting thing. 7.5 feet. What does 7.5 feet have to do with this miracle? 7.5 feet was the average beam on a boat at that time, a fishing vessel. So from one side of the boat to the other side, 7.5 feet. But they've been throwing the net all night. He says, throw it on the other side. What does 7.5 feet have to do with this? I don't think it really has a lot to do with it other than he said, throw it on the other side. And if we obey him in the little things, he'll do a lot. He'll do a lot. Believe me, God is into details. He wants little things being done in our lives. It'll make a difference. From one side of the boat to the other was typically that 7.5 feet. What's the difference in 90 inches in a fishing net? Really, what's the difference in 90 inches in a fishing net? I mean, all night long they were throwing this net, both sides. All of a sudden now, it's throw it on the other side. I'll tell you the difference in that 7.5 feet, that 90 inches. It's called bragging rights. Anybody ever fish? Come on. Fisherman wants full and total bragging rights. You ain't going to take none of those bragging rights away from me. I caught that fish on my pole with my line on this day at that time. And we have all the details down, Pat. We know how much it weighs, how long it is. We take all the details. We got bragging rights, right? And that's really what it comes down to. And so all of a sudden they've been doing this all night long. But you know, I think Jesus is looking for bragging rights. He wants to know the size, the weight, what area it was caught in, the time of day it was caught, the month, the year, the type of lure, the pole, all these things. We want that information, and Jesus is getting ready to take that glory. You're not going to get it as a fisherman in this situation. He's going to do a miracle in your life, but that 7.5 feet is going to be the small obedience he knows in order to do the miracle and take all the bragging rights. Oh, we've been throwing the net all night long, but nevertheless, at your command, I'll just go 90 inches over here. Ha! Futility is what I would think. 90 inches after all night ain't gonna mean squat. But it meant everything to who got the glory and the bragging rights. That was his catch. Peter knew there was no distinction being made by the 90 inches of 7.5 feet of the casting of the net. However, Jesus knew there was a huge blessing waiting in the obeying of the little things. Let's take a look at the fire. It's interesting to point out that Jesus already had fish and bread on the fire. I mean, he's already got it there, so really what does he need us for? He didn't need Peter, he didn't need John, he didn't need the others to bring the fish. He already has all that you need. He already has all that you need. I'm just telling you that. I think the Word of God is just telling you that. I'm just the one unpacking it for you a little bit this morning. So they were required to come to the fire, not simply to eat, not simply to be warm, but to have relationship with the risen Savior. That's what he wanted. That's what he requires. He's going to feed you. He's going to make you comfortable. He's going to warm you. He's going to give you all that you need. But the greatest thing he wants and desires is intimacy. Come and dine with me, is what he's saying. The fire was warm. The fire will burn. Fire will sanctify. And it'll create a desire to share the glory of God in our lives. A fire starts to burn inside. And we've got to share. It burns. And it becomes a conflagration that consumes all. Let's take a look at this miracle moment. You know, I think we need to count miracles the way we count blessings. We talk sometimes as old saints, I've heard things like, well, count blessings. You know, you got a car, there's a blessing. You got four wheels on the car, there's four more blessings. That's five all total. You got five lug nuts on each wheel holding those things in place. They're a blessing because if they come off while you're driving, it ain't going to be a blessing, I'll tell you. And so all of that you can count as blessings, and we do that. I count every breath that I take a blessing from God, and I give him glory for what he's doing in my life. Amen. Every breath is a blessing. How come we don't count miracles that way? You know, we just, okay, Lord, did a miracle, now on to the next one. Sometimes I wonder if I don't try to get myself in deep enough that only God can get me out to prove that he can. Wow, Father, you love me. I know you're going to do it. And so God, go ahead, because nobody else can. I got myself in such a world of mess over here. And he has. He's delivered me from alcoholism. He's delivered me from drug addiction. I had a heart attack from cocaine overdose. An eight ball of cocaine and a couple of bottles of wine all in a night because they go together. And I'll tell you what happened. The pain went from my heart right down my left arm. 6 o'clock in the morning, my friend's knocking at my door. He was knocking because I had an eight ball of coke and he wanted some. And he's like, hey, you want to go four-wheeling? I got some wine. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. You went and got another bottle? I looked at him and I said, man, my arm, it's hurting. It's like throbbing. It's like my heart is beating down it. And I could feel. Overdosing on cocaine. I looked at him and I said, maybe I should go to the hospital. And he said, well, maybe we can go four-wheeling. I said, okay, let's do that. Instead of going to the hospital, I chose to live in my debauchery a little bit longer. I went out, did more cocaine, did more alcohol, and before you know it, the military did a scan of my heart, EKG. They looked at me and they said, you have scar tissue. And I said, wow. And the doctor said, do you remember how that might have happened? Yeah. But I didn't tell him all of it. They tracked that scar tissue every year at my annual physical. They hooked up the EKG. It didn't take long, usually about 5 minutes, and they just put all the electrodes on, they print a tape, and they put it in my medical file. Scar tissue, scar tissue, scar tissue. For 15 years, scar tissue, scar tissue, scar tissue. I get ready to retire, and just before I retired, I remember the night the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and he said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to write my love letter on it, and I embraced that in all it was, and God baptized me with fire, speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. I mean, I was just on fire for God, baptizing the Holy Ghost, and I went in for my last physical in the Navy, and they sat there for an hour with this tape running. I knew the nurse. He came back in, Reggie, and he said, Doug, doctor wants to talk to you. And I said, yeah, okay, what's going on? And he says, well, doctor wants to talk to you. So I went into the doctor's office with Reggie, and I'm sitting there, and he says, so you're getting ready to retire, and you know you got to be in good health in order to retire. And I said, yeah, I understand that, in case you ever want to call me back. And he said, yeah. And he said, your eyes have gotten better. I said, praise God. He said, your scar tissue is gone. We can't find it on your heart. Come on, scar tissue doesn't disappear. I've got scars all over on my exterior body. I mean, surgeons have made marks, things like that, right? I have other scars. You want to see a few? I got them. And I, maybe you have scars. They just don't go away. But this went away, literally, physically went away. And I believe God gave me a new heart, just like he promised. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We need to count our miracles. Here's the thing. Don't let us do what the fishermen do. I mean, I don't want to sit there and say it was this long and this big and all that and then try to take the glory for that. I want to say it was this long, this big and all that, and then look at what Jesus did. He caught that fish. He made a miracle out of that. It matters what we do when God's miracle doesn't line up with our logic. Remember that. God's miracle doesn't line up with our logic all the time. It just overcomes it. God isn't concerned about whether we think it's logical. God wants to just do a miracle. They're often illogical. They don't make sense. So let's just deal with it. I mean, the simple fact of the matter, it doesn't make sense when the doctor looks at you. That's why he printed an hour worth of tape on my heart. And he says, we can't find the scar tissue. And I said, good, praise God. He told me he was going to give me a new heart. I thought he meant it spiritually because he took the hate and the vengeance out of my heart. The anger, all those things. But he also gave me a new heart. And if you need a new heart today, he can give you a new heart today. In the midst of our reasoning, God is showing up and he's determined to show off. He will simply, will we simply allow him to do what he can do? Will we look for that moment when a miracle can be done? Because that's what Christ wants to do. So when we count our blessings, it's when you count your blessings, a couple things are going to happen. It's going to amplify your joy. I mean, every time I tell somebody what God has done in my life, wow, what a wonderful thing he has done in my life. He's healed my marriage. My gosh. Some of you know the testimony. What a miracle he's done in my life. And he continues to do miracles like this. It amplifies your joy. John shouted out, it's the Lord! And we need to shout that out when God does a miracle. When we recognize him on the shoreline of our life, we ought to be yelling out, it's the Lord! Look at, he's getting ready to do something. It's the Lord today. He's here and he's at the dawn of my day. He's getting ready to do something. Actually, are you kind of like Peter? You ready to take a leap of faith? It's what Peter did. John shouted, it's the Lord. Peter put on his coat, took a leap right out of the boat. Hoo-hoo! Wasn't the first time Peter jumped out of a boat. The last time he jumped out of the boat and he says, it is I, the Lord, come. He walked on water. What are you willing? What kind of miracle do you want God to do in your life? I don't know what Peter thought when he jumped out of the boat, if he was going to walk on water, run across it to the Lord, but he went right down into the bottom and had to swim on into the shore. God isn't going to do everything the same way he did it last time. He's just going to do a new thing in your life. And I believe he wants to do a blessing. He wants to do a miracle. And so all of a sudden when we count our blessings, we amplify it with joy. Joy is shouting on to the Lord. Joy is leaping out in faith. Joy is manifested in a lot of ways. But one of the things that happened with joy is it's contagious. All the rest started rowing faster to get that 153 fish to the shore. Know this, whatever you bring to Christ as an offering for the fire, because that's what they were doing. They're bringing that fish to the shore. Whatever you'll bring to him as an offering, he's already on the shoreline of our lives. And he already has food on the fire for you. There's more than enough for you all to eat. He's not going to run out. It's not going to diminish the quantity and the quality of what he has. Oh, he desires to bring fish from your boat. He wants you to bring something. He rewards you for your labors. But he is capable of just feeding you without any assistance at all. He really doesn't need you to do anything. But he requires that we do something. Can I have the worship team up here this morning? And would you please stand with me in this house today? See, the reward for your labor is really a sacrifice, a laying down of ourself in whatever way. We need to just lay down our life a living sacrifice. In whatever way we think we're not perfect, understand God thinks it's holy when you bring that sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. We lay down that sacrifice and we ask God to use it to change and transform us. No longer being conformed to the way this world thinks. That's right. The world will tell you miracles still don't happen. I mean, the oncologist looked at me and said, how did that work? And I said, prayer. How'd that work? Prayer. How'd that work? Prayer. Come on. You know, I remember the day when I left that hospital. My wife in the car driving home. The doctor in the emergency room had just talked with my oncologist who had sent me to the emergency room to get a chest x-ray. They took the chest x-ray. They immediately took a CAT scan. They said, it's not good. We're going to cease chemo, give you steroids. Hopefully you'll get strong that you can enjoy the last month with your family. That was 2 days before my daughter's wedding that I was due to officiate. And the devil was trying to steal our joy. And he can't have it because it's a joy of the Lord. And it is my strength. And a righteous man can run into a strong tower and there be saved. So I looked at my wife and I'm driving. And 3 months earlier, a man came down from Canada, called me out of the blue, hadn't spoken to him in like a decade. Said, Doug, can I talk to you? I got a word from the Lord for you. I said, sure. Him and his wife sitting right out in front of the cancer center. And he said, I saw x-rays like your lungs. He said, and I saw dots all over them. And he started weeping and crying, and so did we. Then he said, and then I saw the Ruach breath of God blow, and those dots went away. Oh, come on. That was 3 months before that x-ray was ever taken. I didn't want to believe it, but I needed to hear it, because 3 months later when that x-ray was taken and those dots were there, I spoke in a car driving home on that day, just a couple days before my daughter's wedding. I looked at my wife and I said, I can't wait to see God's Ruach breath blow those dots away. Faith. Careful of the words we speak. There is power of life and death in our words. And I spoke life over my life. I spoke the hope that was given in that prophetic word on that day. That word of knowledge. And I held on to it. It took 3 months longer. A month longer than they gave me to live. For them all to go away. 3 months in the waiting for them to come. 3 months in the waiting for them to go. I measured it. What's your miracle? What's your need today? What is it you need God to do? Are you willing to measure it? Has He given you a word? Has He given you a promise? Has He spoken something to you? Because I'm telling you today, there's a fire in the house of the Lord. He is on the dawn of this day. And He is ready to receive you and feed you with all that He has upon that fire. Will you come and receive your moment of a miracle today? Will you come and just believe God for all that He has? If that is what you want, if that is your greatest desire, if you require God to do a miracle, then He is the one who can, and He is here today for your miracle. Come, come in Jesus' name. Come.